Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary
with David Slack. Morena, David, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm very well. How are you?
Good. It's a big old politics week. We've had the leaders' debate, and also many other, actually, political debates have been roaring away on the television on various different channels. But I guess the big leaders' debate is the one that a lot of people tune into. It's also had a bit of criticism around it, maybe, for just having the leaders of Labour and National and not our other parties in a sort of a situation where we have MMP. There's been a bit of criticism around that. There's also been criticism of other things as well, but I want to know what your thoughts are after you watched it. What were your big takeaways to start us off, David?
I came away with pretty much the same impression I had of both of the candidates. And I don't think it would have moved many people's perceptions very much, to be honest.
Right.
I am actually saying this reminds me of something I haven't written about in the last couple of weeks that I keep meaning to, and that is that there is a from time to time I'm encountering people who will say, I'm a swinging voter, I'm genuinely a swinging voter, I have gone from one side to the other, and without generalising too much, I would say there's a typical profile of being affluent women in their 40s to 60s.
So you're talking swinging kind of from left to right a little bit, is this what you mean?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And this is what John Key was successful at doing, moving that block over. And it is a very significant component of the election, because they're people who aren't set in their tribal allegiance, and I'm thinking of one person in particular who is telling me, I'm wanting to hear from Judith Collins what she can offer, because all I can see is reasons to vote for Jacinda, and I'm thinking that friend, if she was watching on Tuesday night, God, I've lost track of all time.
Who even knows? It's still 2020. That's the only thing that seems to be consistent.
Day 5,860. I don't think she'd have seen anything that would have persuaded her that there was any good reason to go to National. And I say that because the thing that she was saying a couple of weeks ago about Judith Collins was that she didn't feel that she had that capacity to bring people together and carry the nation along. And that is really what I think is working for Jacinda Ardern. And I think in this debate, that's what she was conveying. And I suspect that a large chunk of the voting populace that have been showing their support for her so far would have found that confirmed their feeling that
right.
She's calm, carrying on, not doing anything particularly dramatic. And that's actually a reassurance. At a time of great convulsion, you want to be reassured that there's some kind of calm composure in the middle of it all.
Mm.
And that's what she's been offering. And so, although it wasn't a bit of biff that your TV political editors are always looking for,
right.
I think it was what voters were looking for, or rather a majority were looking for.
That is an interesting observation, actually, because quite a lot of commentators after the fact of the debate were talking about maybe Judith coming out with a bit more punch and maybe having a better sort of fighting presence in the actual debate itself. Yeah. But it's an interesting thing to think maybe that is not necessarily what all people are looking for when they are tuning into that debate. Do you think that if someone watching that who maybe didn't have a very good idea of either party's positions on certain policies would have walked away feeling a little bit more clearer about those positions, or do you think that kind of got lost? I'm particularly interested in what you think about housing on this one, because that's always been a hot button topic in an election, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not sure that it was canvassed enough or at enough length for it to be meaningful or for people to have taken something away. I saw late yesterday a clip of the 1975 leaders' debate. That was Muldoon and Rowling.
Right.
And it was instructive in the sense that you realise just how far we've moved along from having enough time for an idea to be developed, fully formed. It's a goddamn stroll by comparison. There's room for an idea to expand. And
right.
when you're talking about the state of housing, which you and I have done many times on this segment, it's not something you can do in a couple of moments,
no.
because it actually feeds into every damn thing of our economy, because we have this problem of people looking for something for nothing by buying a house, waiting for it to go up, and making money out of it. And this has become a thing that everybody gets into, and it gets propelled along where everybody pretends their house is worth more, and the bank lends the money to make the pretense real.
Mm.
And it just takes it further and further away out of the reach of the people who can't afford that, and the rents go up. And so you've got people who are paying $700, $800, $900 a week in rent, for God's sake, which is more than a lot of people are paying for mortgages.
Mm.
The whole thing is cooked. And there's a whole lot more to that that needs to all be explored, and there wasn't remotely enough room for that to be explored in that debate format. Moreover, it was frustrated by interjection and quips and digs by Judith Collins to an extent that meant that nothing productive could happen to it. I also think the whole thing felt quite unreal. It looked to me like TVNZ excavated 2 miles down under Victoria Street and made a cabin that would look like Darth Vader's cockpit, and into it are just the two candidates and John Campbell, because there's a plague on, so you know there's no audience. So the whole thing was just so far from reality that the whole thing didn't really seem to have all that much solid meaning. And so I'm not sure. To circle back to your initial question, that somebody coming in with not a lot, hungry for more knowledge about issues and policy, would have come away with any enhanced understanding. I think the format mitigated against it.
I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are, David, on the criticism that if it is a leaders' debate, why have we only got the two major party leaders when we have an MMP system? Do you think that's a valid criticism? Would you like to have seen more party leaders in that big setting? I mean, this is the big ticket bill. You know, people tune in for the leaders' debate if they tune into any debate. What are your thoughts around that?
Entirely. And you'll see it again on election night, where even though it's the proportionate vote across the country that matters, they'll keep reporting it as a goddamn horse race. And there's a slight wrinkle in it, in that, you know, certain seats, if taken, can potentially carry a party above the 4% threshold. But that's a small part of it. But because they've always loved the horse race, and because they love the aforementioned bit of biff, they treat it like a first-past-the-post scenario in presenting the election. Now, the debates tend to get the same thing, leader versus leader, when it's exactly right, as you just suggested, that all leaders have a contribution to make. And I think the problem really is that to give each leader the time to be heard, you need a different format, not a debate, but a series of interviews.
Mm.
A Kim Hill interview, you know, over maybe 3 hours, that is then condensed down to half an hour if you want, so that you really explore the ideas with the leaders and get an idea of what they think and what they propose, and, of course, who they are, because you go for that sort of duration and you get something really productive. That's what needs to be done. And, of course, old-style terrestrial TV format utterly mitigates against it. What you've got instead is a 30-second opening speech and a 30-second closing one. That's not a speech. That's an elevator pitch.
It's interesting.
And
it's interesting,
there's nothing productive to be had from that.
No, it is interesting, though, but perhaps to play devil's advocate for a second there, you do kind of get a sort of a condensing of maybe what really matters. I mean, this could be true or not, but one big criticism that's come out of this debate is that there were basically no Māori issues discussed, as people have pointed out. Te Tiriti didn't come up once. These things kind of coming through quite starkly when perhaps you've got this condensed period of time, and something as significant as that not being mentioned seems to maybe say something as well. Perhaps there's a place for two kinds of conversation going on.
Yeah, that is. It is telling. I think if you were to give those other leaders the chance, you might see something different. But I think, you know, the larger question is, how are we getting productive treatment of the candidates and eliciting thoughts? And I think that longer format would be the better. And I say that partly because of what I saw in that 1975 debate. Longer is sometimes better. And just enough time for an idea to get its legs and go for a walk.
Hard out. Hey, David, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm looking forward to getting some more hot takes from you in the next couple of weeks. If people want to have a read up about more of your thoughts on this, sub-slack.substack. Is that right? .com.
Yes, sub-slack.substack.com. It is a bit of a tongue twister, eh?
It is, but I like that. I like that. It does stick in your head. Hey, David, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Have a good one.
You too. Cheers, Rachel.
See you later.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.